Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, and I am once again joined by my fabulous, intrepid co-host, Mr. Tyler Orzynski, a.k.a. Tyler O. What is up, my guy? It is good to have you back.
Dude, it is great to be back. Had some travel going on, both for work and for pleasure. Knew I was going to be out for one of those podcasts, but then had some switching up of the travel that unfortunately brought me out for two. But I'm here. I'm locked in. I don't foresee any reason that I will be off the mic for the rest of the season. I appreciate you holding it down in the interim. Let's jump in, my man.
We will be jumping into our look back at the action of week 7. We'll also give our waiver wire picks and also just, you know, check in on what's going on in the fantasy landscape in general. But before we do that, I normally ask you, hey, how are you doing? But I figured since you've been gone for a little while, we've been missing that classic Tyler O wisdom. I'm going to start doing a fun little early segment just called Ask Tyler O, where we can just pick your brain on different pieces of advice. So the first one I want to ask you is, if there are listeners right now who are managing struggling teams, maybe below 500, fighting to stay in the playoff picture, what is the most important thing you would tell to that person?
You know, it's going to sound a bit corny, but the truth of the matter is you just can't give up. You never really know. Fantasy is a strange, wild, and fun game. I have been playing a lot of fantasy football for a very long time, and I have seen some people, and even myself, pull themselves out of some very ridiculous situations. The first quarter of the season is not like the second quarter of the season. The first half of the season can be completely different from the second half of the season. You need to plan, and you need to adjust accordingly. Even if you're 2-5, you're not out of it. Even if you're 1-6, you might be, but it's not totally impossible. 0-7? Things might be a little rough, but like, yeah. I've seen, say 2-6 teams, let's say at the halfway mark, roughly the halfway mark, 2-6 teams come through and not only make the playoffs, but win the championship. That's the kind of stuff I've seen. Cause the chances are if you're 2-6, you're dealing with injuries. Maybe those players are coming back, right? You continue to play the waiver wire. You finally hit gold on the right guy. And it's not about just playing the waiver wire. It's about using your bench, navigating your bench correctly, putting the right players on your bench. Like, here's a great example. I'm in a bunch of leagues, so it doesn't mean a lot. Like, don't, you know, go nuts on me or anything. But right before lock, I had an open spot. I only have Hunter Henry on my team. So I was like, I'm just going to add Gadsden to the bench. Like, I think I slid Kyler Murray in my IR spot. Like, those are the little things you need to do. It's those little things, those micro transactions that you need to start stacking that can lead to W's, because it was just one of my teams. I had open spots. I moved someone to IR. It was a clicking around on names. I'm like, Gadsden. I mean, I honestly think he was like the highest projected tight end on Sleeper. Like, there was no other real reason why I grabbed him, but I was like, let's give it a shot. I got lucky. But the thing is, you're not going to get lucky if you're not making those microtransactions like that and just leaving players who are out on your bench instead of sliding them into the IR. So the overarching piece of advice here is don't give up. But the second piece is continue to push and make microtransactions, little moves along the way, because those microtransactions, they'll stack up. They'll stack up into something, and they can stack up into something. And just because you're 2-6 right now or 2-5 does not mean you're out of the playoffs. And if you can make the playoffs, you can win a championship. Let's jump into it, man. I did a lot of talking there, but I got on one.
Stick to the process. Always be making moves. And hey, one of the moves you can make is going after bringing in a 40-year-old quarterback to turn around your fortunes, like the Cincinnati Bengals did with Joe Flacco in their defeat of the Pittsburgh Steelers way back on Thursday night. I got to tell you, man, I have been very impressed with the Bengals ever since, like, the second half of that game against the Packers, and then what they went out there and did against the Steelers. It's supporting everything we need out of T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. We'll talk about Ja'Marr Chase and his 23 targets, I'm sure, but it's also even made Chase Brown a little bit better. And that's why, as we're heading into one of the busier bye weeks this season in week 8, Joe Flacco is a guy that you should probably be thinking about going to pick up off the wire. It's really starting to work there.
Without a doubt, man. I mean, my whole thing was, if Flacco can deliver us 80% of Chase Ja'Marr Chase, Chase Brown, and Higgins, it's a W, right? Considering what we saw with Browning. I love what Flacco's doing. I think he's probably doing what I would consider the smartest thing. And like, Ja'Marr Chase is arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL, so why not throw him the ball every other time you sling it? It's brilliant, actually, and I absolutely love to see it. I think Ja'Marr Chase is at, with Flacco under center, Ja'Marr Chase is absolutely back as a top five option. T. Higgins is absolutely in there as a top 24 option every single week, as he has been. You know, I think Chase Brown, there's a level to it where I'm a little bit concerned, just considering we're seeing a little bit more Perine than I thought. Only 53% snaps last week, giving up some passing situations. And with Flacco, you know, they're going to be in passing situations because they're defense anyways. But it's one of those things where Chase Brown is just an RB2 now. And I think we just like learn to accept that and we're going to be okay. And besides that, I mean, no one else really is interesting as much to me in this moment. I think Noah Fant had a decent game because Gesicki's out, but that's not something I'm going to chase.
Yeah, I don't really blame you there. And it had a pretty decent performance the week before as well, but you just can't really count on that stuff. And especially chasing touchdowns, that's not something that I'd be super interested in doing when it comes to tight ends, which is why I'm particularly skeptical of all of the tight ends on the Pittsburgh Steelers, because talk about guys finding the end zone. Yeah, Pat Freiermuth ended up with a couple. Jonnu Smith found the end zone, and even the big man Darnell Washington. What a weird performance from the Steelers team.
Hell of a segue there. Got to give you some credit there, Herms.
Hey.
Hell of a segue. Yeah, Steelers side of the ball. Aaron Rodgers is clearly competitive. I think for me, the biggest takeaway is simply this. They want to have a workhorse. We saw it when Jaylen Warren was out. They gave that to Gainwell, and now this is fully Jaylen Warren's backfield. He's getting the touches. He's getting the yards. I'm not ready to anoint him a top 12 every week starter, kind of as an RB1, but he is a starter on your fantasy team in terms of being at least a high-end RB2, and Gainwell should be on your bench as a decently high-end handcuff, as we know they're not afraid to ride Gainwell if something does happen to Warren. Not really paying attention to these tight ends. I don't think we see this again, but I think because we got so much out of the tight ends, what this does tell me is we need not to panic on DK Metcalf, because all of these touchdowns will not be going to the tight ends every single week.
Now, that is definitely true. And I also don't think we're going to see a ton of performances like this out of Aaron Rodgers moving forward. Obviously, the numbers have to run. We have a new, you know, week's worth of data that's going to be going into our NFL stats hub. But the Steelers have attempted the lowest air yards per game of any passing attack in the NFL. It's not one that's going to be particularly sustainable. These touchdown spikes are hard to rely on. Not the old man quarterback that I would be focused on. If there is an old man quarterback, that's a little bit more interesting. How about Matthew Stafford throwing for 5 touchdowns in the absence of Puka Nacua in that absolute rout of the Jaguars over in London? I had included in the usage report last week the game splits so far in like 5 games without Puka Nacua in his career since 2023. The passing yards per game for Matthew Stafford dropped, his fantasy points dropped, but hey, it didn't seem to matter this week. He absolutely balled out, and so did Devontae Adams with 3 touchdowns, bro.
Yeah, man, it was a beautiful thing. You know, as a Lions fan, I'll forever be rooting for Matt Stafford. It was just absolutely beautiful to see him be able to go out and do that. I don't have any notes from the Rams side. We did get to see a decent amount of Blake Corum, but I think that was just more so the game atmosphere, that the game was so out of hand that they just wanted to give Corum some run. Not really going to panic on Kyren Williams just yet. From the Jaguars side of the ball, we did see Brian Thomas. I think he had a shoulder injury, but he is expected back after the bye. It is a bit of a Travis Hunter breakout, man. I do kind of want to turn that over to you. Almost a 30% target share, 14 targets, 100 yards, touchdown, 8 catches. How are you kind of handling, or what are you thinking about Travis Hunter here? Does this stick at all for you? Does he continue to be like a bench guy and this is just a flash in the pan? What's your thoughts here on Travis Hunter?
I mean, I think it's definitely nice knowing that they're invested in getting him the ball a lot more. Liam Cohen coming out and openly talking about that. And then I think the other really encouraging thing is that we're about to head into the Jaguars bye week. And we have traditionally seen over the course of time in the NFL, that's a really good time for teams to like really work in the rookies all the way and try to get them fully into game plans. I mean, not to say that they haven't done a good job with Travis Hunter, you know, obviously recently, and even the game before against the Chiefs was also pretty interesting as well. Yeah, I'm definitely here for it. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I would at least feel comfortable. Yep. Once they come back from their bye week, plugging him in as like a flex option. I think I'm there with it.
I'm with you. I think I'm doing the same exact thing. I think you really nailed it there. I think I'm going to be putting him in there just considering the draft capital, considering how they've been using him. We know not to judge rookies too much on their performance in the first half of the season. As long seasoned veteran fantasy players, we know that rookies, a lot of the times, the second half of the season is why we draft them, and the second half of the season is more important than the first. So good to go on that.
Yep, and that's why I'm still holding out hope for Bashal Tutin. It's not too late, everybody. I swear it's coming. Just wait for it. Moving into our next game, though, the Chicago Bears had a pretty, you know, sturdy win against the New Orleans Saints. Weird adjective, but I'm rolling with it anyway. And the running game looked really good once again. DeAndre Swift continuing to ball out, but there's another guy. It's not just DeAndre Swift. Rookie Kyle Manungai is really starting to come on. He ended the game with close to 100 scrimmage yards, ended up with 15 touches on the day. Pretty impressive. How seriously are you taking Kyle Manungai on the waiver wire this week?
Considering our other options, I think I'm taking it, you know, fairly seriously. I'm not ready to say empty my fab clip into Kyle Manungai, as I do think he is a limited running back, but one thing we know about the running back position is as long as you're getting the volume, you can make it work. So, yeah, he's definitely a priority for me. This kind of like trend of DeAndre Swift getting less has been heading in this direction for a little while. I don't necessarily think Manungai is a guy that I'm going to be excited to be plugging in my starting lineup at any point in time, but it certainly makes a case here in terms of bench depth.
We get to this part of the calendar. You need bye week fillers. You need injury guys. He's probably nothing more than that, but hey, we'll see if it continues to blossom. Any other thoughts from the Bears side of this game? Or are you good to move on to the Saints?
I'm good to move on. I don't have too much to say about the, you know, the passing attack there. Adunze's kind of started the season pretty hot. It's been a little bit cold as of late. DJ Moore is a bit of a disappointment, but no real updates. I think everything is status quo from the Bears side of football.
And just something to, you know, touch on the New Orleans Saints side. Obviously, you know, this offense has its pieces. We already know who we like, who we don't like. But Kendre Miller ended up with a torn ACL in this contest. So I believe that does mean there is an opening for rookie out of Kansas, the sixth round pick, Devin Neal, to gain some opportunity. I think he's a name that in deeper leagues I would be going after, but with the understanding that it's still no guarantee he's going to step up into the sort of like pseudo split role that Kendre Miller had with Kamara. And then also the fact that the Saints offense is just not particularly good.
You know, it sucks to see him go down as he was kind of working his way in. I mean, he's been battling injuries here for a bit, but Devin Neal's definitely a name that I'll put on, you know, regular size roster benches, just kind of sit there. Yeah, the offense isn't great, but, you know, Devin Neal is now just an injury away from getting some serious work. And because of that, he deserves to be on our benches. I was a fan of Devin Neal's going into the draft process. I definitely think he's kind of a player who's, you know, maybe good at everything, but not great at anything at the NFL level. But yeah, I think Devin Neal's kind of a nice player to throw a couple bucks at, throw him on the end of your bench and see what happens.
All right, coming up next on the agenda, we have the absolute demolition of the Miami Dolphins, a team that also unfortunately lost Jaylen Waddle to injury in the contest. I haven't seen recent updates on that. I don't know if you've been checking that out, but the only takeaway I have is that if he is hurt, I am interested in no one from this offense besides Devin Achane. There is no circumstance at all that it's getting gross, dude. Tua was just horrible.
Yeah, I mean, cold weather games aren't going to be a good thing for Miami, but even so, it's pretty rough. Looks like Darren Waller might be out a couple weeks. Looks maybe like a pec injury or chest injury of some sorts. And I mean, I have nothing else to add from the Miami side of the football. And, you know, I don't want to speculate about people's jobs. So I'm happy to just shift right into the Browns. I think obviously Quinshon Judkins dominated, but the Dolphins defense is going to be the gift that keeps on giving this year for folks. If you need a get right game, particularly from a running back, it's going to be when they're playing the Dolphins. And I believe that Bijan Robinson gets the Dolphins next week. So folks, start Bijan Robinson next week. Now, but like Bijan Robinson for real might go for 250 yards or something like that against this Dolphins team. So I don't really have too much going on from the Brown side of things. Pretty quiet game. Harold Fannin continues to, you know, kind of lead in targets. Certainly a name that it's not a sneaky name at this point in time, but not somebody that I would be dropping a very good bye week fill-in, because we do have bye week hell upon us here now, Herms. I know you kind of alluded to it, but got a lot of bye weeks coming up, and Fannin could be a guy that we could be looking to, or the type of player, I should say, that we'd be looking to in weeks like this.
No, totally. Anywhere volume goes is a place that fantasy managers should be chasing. And sometimes you got to fade when there's not enough opportunity. Sometimes you have to start having some tough conversations if players aren't performing. Travion Henderson, only 2 carries for 5 yards in what was probably the perfect opportunity, right? So they're going to play the Tennessee Titans. It's going to be an easy win for this offense. Why not, if you're Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels, be like, hey, let's see what the rookie can do. Wouldn't that be kind of fun? I guess not. We'll just give Ramondre Stevenson 20 touches in the game. Dude, what are we doing with Travion Henderson at this point? I am starting to, I'm not saying you have to drop him, but I'm not necessarily feeling super great about rostering him either.
Yeah, man. I wanted it to be Travion Henderson week, and this was my last week that I thought it could happen. I was like, they just run away with this. They finally give him some work, and the complete opposite of has happened. He looks so good in the preseason. I don't really know what's going on. This is like your classic sort of you can't assume rational coaching, right? This isn't a I know better, right? I mean, maybe there's some things going on behind the scenes that we are not aware of with Henderson, but either way, man, he's just not a fantasy option. I wouldn't go out and drop him. Because I think he's at the very least a high upside handcuff, because we know he's a talented player. But I'm baffled, man. I don't really have anything to say except for we can't trust the guy and just sit him on our bench until further notice, man. His usage is going down. So sad days ahead of us here for us Travion Henderson drafters. I mean, some people took him in like the 3rd or 4th round in a redraft. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty rough. And Ramondre's the guy. So shout out to those folks who stayed on the Ramondre train. Kind of rewarded for it here in a sense. So Drake May is looking good, man. Besides that, don't have a ton from the Patriots side of the ball. And then Titans, we can actually just move on, man.
I do actually kind of like Tyjae Spears as a super, super deep league flex option, just because he's on the field and they kind of throw him the ball sometimes and they'll be playing a lot in garbage time. That is my only quick note from the remainder of this
game. Fair enough.
And then, this seems like a really good stopping point. What we're going to do here, folks, is get into our commercial break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Crossing Routes Podcast.
Hey, y'all, what's good? It's your boy Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes Podcast. I got something pretty cool I want to tell you about, so listen up. Our partners at DraftKings Pick 6 have a deal you don't want to miss. New DraftKings customers, this one's for you. When you play $5 or more on your first paid Pick 6 entry, you'll get $50 in bonus picks instantly. That's right. Play $5, get $50 in bonus picks to keep building your slips, take a shot at big payouts. All you gotta do, just use promo code FTN to sign up and start playing. If you've been thinking about trying Pick 6, now's the time to get in. Use code FTN to sign up, and all new DraftKings customers can play $5 and get $50 in bonus picks instantly. Let's build some slips. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. Pick6.draftkings.com/promos. 1 per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Ends October 3rd, 2025 at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Sponsored by DraftKings.
Welcome back. This is still the Crossing Routes Podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. It's still Herms. It's still Tyler O. And we're still breaking down Week 7. And now we have to get into the absolute destruction of the Las Vegas Raiders and what it may mean for fantasy purposes. The Raiders are going on bye this week. We won't see them again until the month of November. How excited are you for potential Raiders QB1 Kenny Pickett? Because I honestly cannot imagine Geno Smith survives this, dude. He didn't even hit 100 yards in this game, my guy. I get that they're without Brock Bowers. I get that this offense has had its flaws. But, like, yo, you couldn't get anything moving, my guy. What is going on here?
Yeah, man, it's pretty sad. The fall off, because Geno looked good last year, man. Like, he was good. He was objectively a good quarterback, and I have no idea what's happening, how it's happened. I'm at a loss for words for this situation because it's not good for Bowers either. It's not good for Myers. It's not good for anybody. We already know it's not good for Jeantie. And Pickett, man, I mean, dude, he's a fine backup, I guess. But, dude, it is a bleak situation for anybody trying to trust some Raiders going forward, man. I don't have a ton else to say. Let's just try to get through these next couple weeks and maybe it's okay. I mean, dude, drumming up optimism right now for this Raiders offense is a tough thing for me to do.
RIP all those Ashton Jeantie redraft shares. We'll see how that ends up working out. But on the other side of the ball, there actually are some interesting takeaways. So rookie Breshard Smith, this is a name that we have brought up on this show consistently, dude. He actually had himself a great game, 13.1 PPR points. And I know a lot of people are going to look at this and be like, oh, it was against the Raiders. It was this blowout. Kareem Hunt got hurt. But there's actually something interesting about that. Kareem Hunt, yes, he did get a little bit banged up. I think it was his ankle when he was on blocking assignment for that first Rashee Rice touchdown. But he came back early in the second quarter. They gave him a few more carries, and then they just took him out. So it wasn't as though it was just a byproduct of the injury thing. I think maybe this was just a good Breshard Smith audition. But even then, that's still a little bit of speculation. But I think it's time. People, if you need a running back off the waiver wire, I am fully aboard. The Breshard Smith rocket is going to the moon.
I mean, I have nothing else to add to that. I just totally agree. He's a good pickup this week. It was good to see him get some run. Unfortunately, it was most likely because of the Kareem Hunt injury. Besides that, Rashee Rice walked right into a pretty amazing situation. 27% target share, limited snaps as they ease him back, was able to get two touchdowns, man. He is right back to being the wide receiver one in this offense. Kelsey's probably going to be fine tight end considering the position. And then I don't want to have to play any guesswork with the other wide receivers, although I do think Worthy will end up being like kind of a flexible option going forward.
And then we get into our next contest. The Philadelphia Eagles finally found a little bit of a passing game against the Minnesota Vikings. I think that was probably my biggest surprise. Both A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith going nuclear. Is this something that fantasy managers can continue to expect moving forward? Or do you think this is more of like a blip on the radar type deal?
I mean, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith saw about 75% of the team targets, and you probably can't count on that going forward with two players getting 75% of the targets. I really don't see that being the case. I do think you can continue to kind of trust them, but like folks who were patient definitely were rewarded. I think it kind of falls like somewhere in between from what we have seen and what we saw in this game, because, again, I don't think Saquon Barkley is going to be this quiet every single week. And Goddard has been a favorite target of Jalen Hurts's, and he was pretty quiet as well. I just think the pendulum swung completely in the direction of A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. While I do think it'll kind of even itself out, I think this was a bit of an extreme game for both these guys to eat like this.
But on the Viking side of the ball, it's, I don't know, it's nice to see Jordan Mason getting a ton of the work as we kind of expected. But the only real note that I have is that I think Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson are starting to kind of heat up and being one of those like sort of dueling alpha type. Like, I think maybe like a Jamar Chase, T. Higgins type thing. I'm going to have more about this in the upcoming usage report. Just wanted to throw that out there as well. But like, I don't know. You think that makes sense?
It does. They're going back and forth, man. Definitely see like the Higgins, Jamar Chase. I mean, honestly, it almost feels like A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith to an extent. I think we are absolutely fully trusting Addison going forward. Folks who drafted him super late and kept him on their benches during the suspension have been rewarded. They really have. The only note I have is Aaron Jones is eligible to return in week 8. That's something that we probably need to note. I have a few teams that I'm looking forward to that return because it's clear that Mason is a bit limited in terms of what he can do on the field. He is a very fine back, but he certainly plays a certain type of role. They need that kind of like a little bit quicker pass catcher role. And I think Aaron Jones comes right back into something, or we can slot him in as a weekly starter as a top 24 guy, probably a fringe top 24, but certainly a top 24 guy. It will probably hurt Jordan Mason a bit, but I do think Aaron Jones coming back is good for fantasy managers who have him sitting in their IR spots.
No, 10,000%. And like, hey, it's just another weapon to this offense. Can't hurt. Things are really starting to click there. It'll be fun to see what it looks like maybe when JJ McCarthy comes back.
Maybe.
It should be a fun time, which is the complete opposite of the New York Jets right now. They ended up losing to the Carolina Panthers. Kind of just a dud game. Honestly, do you have any takeaways from the Jets?
I mean, depends. I mean, maybe they bench Fields. I think that's like the thing we need to look out for. Besides that, yeah, like Breece Hall startable considering he gets all the work. But I mean, we can pretty much move on. I Mason Taylor, their tight end, might be usable while G Will is out. If we do see the backup quarterback, I mean, I'm really spinning some stuff out. I'm digging deep. We can move on. We can move on.
Yeah, kind of a similar situation with the Panthers. I mean, honestly, things are kind of gross there. The only thing that I really want to highlight, I guess, is Chuba Hubbard's back. And in the first game, they ended up doing a pretty decent split between him and Rico Dowdle. Is there anything you're taking away from that? Or are we just looking at this as like, one game sample, he just came back, let's not do too much about this? Like, where are you kind of at with that whole thing?
I think it'd be pretty frustrating for fantasy owners. I do think they split. Rico Dowdle was simply just too good to keep off the field, but Chuba Hubbard is a core piece of this team, a core piece of this locker room. So they're just going to continue to split. It's probably good for their team, but bad for fantasy. I do kind of want to talk about Xavier Leggett a little bit. He had a pretty big, good game. I think he had over a 40% target share. I think this is directly tied into Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton loves throwing the ball to Xavier Leggett. For better or worse, I believe as long as Andy Dalton is under center, that Xavier Leggett might be startable in weeks with byes or if you're hurt with injury. But I mean, he had a bit of a breakout. Like, at this point in time, Andy Dalton loves throwing the balls away. We got to kind of follow the volume. Xavier Leggett is certainly a wide receiver I'd be targeting on waivers this week, considering the wide receiver list is pretty bleak.
No, definitely so. It's a bit of a nightmare out there. And yeah, I mean, things are kind of trending in that Dalton direction. I think I saw the high ankle sprain for Bryce Young. So that does put his week 8 in jeopardy upcoming. But we, you know, man, follow along with the practice reports. It's part of life, part of play in the game. Now, we get into,
this 4 o'clock slate was so good, dude. The 4 o'clock slate was so good.
We got so much cool stuff, man. I swear. And honestly, the thing I'm most excited about, all these people sitting around trying to lecture us on the internet and telling us, no, Brian Daboll, you cannot put this rookie quarterback into the lineup. The schedule is too difficult. They're going to eat him alive. What's going to happen? Oh my gosh. Oh, they're going to kill him. Well, guess what, dude? Jackson Dart is insane. So I real quick, I'll just mention, sorry, listeners, he did not rush for 50 yards for the fourth game in a row. Bit of a letdown as far as that goes. But it's okay, because he ended up with 283 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. So it all kind of worked out. Dude, I love Jackson Dart. I'm so here for it.
Dude, I'm going to the Eagles. I'm in Philadelphia. I'm going to the Eagles-Giants game on Sunday so I can go watch Jackson Dart play football in real life, man. I mean, anybody who's been listening to the show knows that Herms and I have been absolutely pounding the table for Jackson Dart. People have been saying, oh, we're not going to see him in his rookie year. It's going to be Russ, blah, blah, blah. Man, he's cooking. He has given – there's a vibe. There's an aura to Jackson Dart that is just lifting this Giants team. And frankly, I'm not even afraid to say it, it's lifting this entire franchise up right now. Scatabo's helping. Do you want to give a little shout-out to Scatabo? He's doing something there. He's kind of like a sidekick. Do it like a little sidekick there for what Jackson Dart's doing. So, man, it is – I mean, it sucks I couldn't get the dub. You know, I'm like low-key rooting for the Giants right now, which just sounds crazy, but I think that's how much I appreciate him. I love Neighbors when he's there healthy too. I don't have like a ton to take away. Like, obviously, Wandell is a fine play due to volume. It seems like Theo Johnson's kind of getting into streamer territory. Scatabo's obviously who he is, but, man, I really just want to – just talk any opportunity to kind of sing the praises of Jackson Dart we're here for. He's a weekly starter in fantasy, and that's I think that's just a beautiful thing.
For sure. And just something I want to mention to listeners. 43.3% rostered on ESPN, 42% rostered on Yahoo. The fact that this man is still out there in over half of leagues on both of these platforms is just ridiculous to me. You have to stop doubting it. And before we get over to the Denver Broncos side, I have a hot take. I'm just going to throw this out there. Mm-hmm. If Malik Nabers is healthy, I think this team makes the wild card. Like, honestly, like they are cooking, dude. Like, oh, we were robbed. We were robbed.
Dude, it would have been an absolutely beautiful thing. I said it before the season start that Neighbors to Jackson Dart was going to feed families, and we were that close. Damn, MetLife Stadium. MetLife Stadium strikes again.
always just, it's, they got to do something about that surface at some point. But on the Broncos side of the ball, Bo Nix looked pretty good. That was definitely a fun performance out of him. A lot of stuff through the air, a lot more J.K. Dobbins stuff. Anything big you have to take away from this resurgent performance that all happened in the fourth quarter?
It was cool to see, but I mean, it is what we thought. It is like Bo Nix, you know, has it in him to be a good fantasy quarterback. You know, Sutton solid, Mims is going to have some games, and J.K. Dobbins is the lead back. We can move on.
I just think it's very impressive that they saved literally all of that for the absolute last part of the game.
Yeah, it was crazy, bro. It was good to see. I mean, I was rooting for the Giants. It was tough, but it was just a beautiful football game, man. One of the best I've seen this year by far.
For sure. And one of the other absolute bangers from this slate was the Colts-Chargers game. Colts ended up getting the victory in this one, but I think we'd be burying the lead a little bit if we didn't talk about the guy that you mentioned earlier at the very top of the show. Rookie tight end Aronde Gadsden, the second. 7 receptions, 164 yards, and a touchdown in this contest. The dude is absolutely going nuclear. I will just start by framing it this way. How aggressive do you need to be on the waiver wire this week to go acquire Gadsden?
I mean, it's certainly one of those situations where if you find yourself needing a tight end, I would not have a problem probably dropping 30-40% of my budget. If you kind of do like the continuous waivers or whatever it is, I would have no problem using a first spot on getting him if I needed a good tight end. He's not a guy that I'm necessarily going to blow all my fab or use one of my top slots just to block for, because like we do have to kind of, we want to be excited about Gadsden. But we do have to realize that Herbert threw the ball 55 times in this game, which we're not going to see a lot of games where any quarterback, let alone Herbert, throw the ball for 55 times. Absolute gunslinger mode, trying to play catch up here against the Colts offense, who's one of the best we've seen this century. So I think for me, it's just like we do have to temper things a little bit. Like, great game out of Keenan Allen, good game out of Ladd, amazing game out of Gadsden, but they're not all going to get that kind of opportunity to eat on a week-to-week basis. So I'm not necessarily freaking out. Love to see it. But if I don't need tight end help, say I have like, you know, top 5, top 8 tight end, I don't think I would waste any kind of fab or, you know, kind of like a top waiver slot on Gadsden.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. I'm trying not to get super far over my skis with him. Listeners, he will be one of the players that I have featured in the upcoming usage report. Anything interesting from this backfield you want to talk about, or do you just want to shift over to the Colts?
We can shift over to the Colts, and frankly, I don't have a ton of, to talk about from the Colts side. I mean, they're just, their offense is insane right now. Like, one of the best offenses in terms of efficiency, what they're able to do, it's impressive. But it's also kind of what we expected. Daniel Jones is cooking. Jonathan Taylor is one of the best running backs in the NFL. Pittman and Warren are doing well. Downs was out. Like, I got nothing. Like, there's nothing really to add here. It's just like, this is an offense who's absolutely rolling, and all of their main pieces were able to eat.
You know, hopefully, you know, Josh Downs comes back and is able to produce some a little bit here. I mean, it really is. It's a fun offense, dude. I'm very excited they got this figured out. Speaking of, you know, offenses having things figured out, how about the Dallas Cowboys, dude? Just absolutely destroying the Washington Commanders. It was a bit of a rough game. Marcus Mariota had to step in for different reasons. But just focusing on the Dallas side of the ball, George Pickens was still really good, even with CeeDee Lamb coming back, as was Jake Ferguson. That three-headed monster basically took home most of the production through the air. Man, dude, this team is fun, and I'm really glad they're finally back on all cylinders.
Fire them up, man. Just fire these Cowboys up. I mean, even in tougher matchups, fire them up, because their defense is not great. And they're going to have to be playing, you know, catch up. Well, it's kind of like how the Bengals operate in a lot of ways, where their defense isn't great. So they just got to sling the ball and just hope that they can put up 40 points every single week if they want to win. So don't have a lot of notes. It was good to see Jake Ferguson, George Pickens, and CeeDee Lamb all kind of coexist. We knew Javonte Williams was going to crush just because he has been all season. Not a lot of notes from the Cowboys side. Just a fun offense and a good fantasy offense. And if you have any of these pieces, you know it's a good fantasy offense.
And, you know, I think the same can be said for the Commanders when they're fully healthy.
Yeah, maybe.
But, like, unfortunately, we didn't end up seeing that. No Terry McLaurin on Sunday, no Deebo Samuel. And as I, you know, mentioned earlier, Jaden Daniels ended up with some injuries. So for that reason, like, is there anything big you want to take away or just kind of leave them alone?
I mean, it's I was expecting a bigger game out of Bill Kroski Merritt, but I think when you have Mariota out there and no wide receivers, they can kind of key in on it. I don't have a ton. We just kind of you know, monitor this Jaden Daniels injury. It seems like it's not major, but I do probably expect him to be out a couple weeks. So yeah, that's really going to put this offense in a pretty rough spot.
Definitely. But after such a fun miracle season last year, just anything that can go wrong has gone wrong. It's very frustrating. All right, we get into another really fun contest, the Green Bay Packers and the Arizona Cardinals. Green Bay ended up with the slight victory in this one. Honestly, there are a lot of directions we could go, so I'll just start anywhere you want to go.
Micah Parsons, I think, is a story here. They don't win this game without Micah Parsons. Like, without that major trade, this, they get three sacks, double-digit pressures. I mean, this game was close. It shouldn't have been close. The Packers had no excuse to be this close with Jacoby Brissett and the Arizona Cardinals this one, in my opinion. And this game was, the MVP of this game was Mike Parsons. He's the real reason I think they're able to kind of take home this close victory. Sticking on the Packers side of the ball, not a ton here. You know, Jordan Love continues to be fairly mid, but Josh Jacobs is the guy there. Tucker Kraft is a weekly single start, and then Dubes is their only kind of like steady flex. I don't have a lot to really take home from the Packers side of the ball. Anything to add?
I guess just because the waiver wire is so bad, Christian Watson probably coming back from that ACL soon. But beyond that, no, I think we're good to talk about the Cardinals. I mean, the backfield, we got to see Bam Knight with the lead duty. That's kind of the only observation I had. You got anything?
Trey McBride is alive with Jacoby Brissett, which is also like, which is good, but also sad. I don't really know what they do here. I would assume they turn back to Kyler, even though it's kind of a tough thing to want to be able to do. We just kind of have to kind of play this by ear. Not a lot of excitement over Marv. We've talked about that in the past, so I don't want to hammer that too hard, but Brissett is good for McBride, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and transitioning from a tight end who absolutely went off to a tight end who unfortunately went dormant in his return, although he only had two targets, George Kittle did not catch a pass on Sunday Night Football against the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, not to say that the 49ers, you know, didn't have a good game despite that. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, oh my Lord, just, you know, continuing to look like the vintage version of himself. Just absolutely leading the team across the board in rushing and receiving. We know he's pretty good. Anything you really want to get into there? I mean, obviously they're still without, you know, some of their guys healthy. We haven't seen Ricky Pearsall back in the lineup yet for a while, but it's a cool offense, and I'm just happy for Mac Jones.
Yeah, I mean, I got nothing too much to add here. They're pretty decimated with injury. It's CMC. I will be trusting George Kittle going forward. It was a tough matchup also coming off the injury, so I wasn't surprised to not see a very good game there. And then I'll just shift over to the Falcon side of the ball. Bijan is exactly who we thought he is. There'll be better days ahead for Drake London, and Pitts remains streamable. And so does Penix, which we talked about. But not too much excitement over here. From the Falcons side, they just got a couple guys, and that's that.
This has been the Crossing Routes podcast. My name is Herms. He is Tyler O. Be sure to check out all of our written content coming out on the website regularly every single week, ftnfantasy.com. That's where you can find all of the cool stuff we do. So until next time, we are saying goodbye. Think about it. Staying up and sleeping.